Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
Now, get ready to spend the next 2 hours with four smart sport-loving ladies. This is Helmets and Heels with Lauren, Donna, Taylor, and Mia, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
A week ago this time, we were planning for a trip to Canton. Mia and I were packing. Well, about to be packing. And Donna was stressing that not everyone might make it on time. I will say, Donna.
Rightfully so.
I will say everyone made it on every flight when they were supposed to.
Yes.
But it came dang close that that was not the case. I will say that. It was close. Our connection on Sunday, so on the way home, we had a long layover. Well, it's not a layover. We had to get to the airport pretty early because the rental cars were due by noon, but our flight wasn't until, at the time, 3:30. That got delayed just a tiny bit. So we had to get to the airport pretty early. So we're all hanging out. And then when we got to Charlotte, because our flight had been slightly delayed, we had to just book
Sprint,
it through
right.
the Charlotte airport. And that's where I got concerned.
Right.
Because on the way there, through the Charlotte airport, some people we're laboring more than others. And so I thought, if we have to go a lot faster. But like I said, everyone made it. And then as it turns out, we raced to get there. But then that flight was delayed
all
while we were sitting there.
For three more passengers. Apparently.
I was texting Mia during this time. And I was
okay.
Like, what's happening? And
in
she was
defense,
like, well,
yes.
I sprinted to get here. And they told us they were closing the doors. And then we're waiting an hour later.
In the defense of those of us that sprinted, which was namely, everyone was booking it, but I knew that I didn't have a wheelie bag. Lauren was among those who had to wait for her suitcase to get taken off. And it was funny because Hayes had said to me, Lauren's going to be the designated sprinter. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I went, Lauren's got to wait for her bag. And I was like, oh, crud. I just had a backpack because I had to check my rolly bag with all my gear in it. And so I looked at Patrick Kavanaugh's wife, and she left her wheelie bag with him. And so it was the two of us, like, sprinting. And we get there, and I say to the lady at the gate, I go, hey, like, you probably know this already, but, like, half of your flight just got here. There's about 28 people. And she literally just looks, and she goes, okay, they have 12 minutes.
Like,
and
thanks.
I just was like,
and as it turns out, we had about an hour.
Yes. And I'm like, without saying names, there's a couple people who I'm like, they ain't going to make it. And I will say this, because of course some people texted me about certain people. Was not worried about Jeff Prosser. He's a runner. Was not worried about Dan Hicken because he's always going to find a way.
He's a speed walker.
Correct. Not worried about Leon because Leon is self-sufficient enough that he had already called ahead. He had a wheelchair waiting for him because of the cabin pressure, his knees from all of his various injuries. Like, I wasn't worried about him.
Right.
There was a couple others that I was like, oh boy. I was like, this could get interesting. But we made it.
Right.
We're all good.
And not everybody was on that flight.
There If that plane had gone down, though, a lot of 1010XL would have gone down with
it. Well, and honestly, it was funny. We got to the gate. Like, so I was waiting with PCAV's wife by the gate. And I said to myself, as soon as I saw Jeff and Dan, like, you know, they waved. They're like, we made it. I was like, honestly, no offense to everybody else, but like, everyone else is going to make it. I can get on the plane now because at least we'll have a morning show tomorrow.
Exactly.
So it's all right. The rest of us will figure it out.
And I will say the cars had to be back by noon was because your flight was originally at like 1:30 or 2. And that's how it was all planned.
Got it.
And then after that was
they
like,
started rescheduling.
They rescheduled.
It was fine. We had, in the words of Hacker, we had camaraderie and we broke bread.
Fellowship.
And I, of course, on the way there, flight was super early. We had to work that day. I had another two flights, with no alcohol whatsoever before boarding either flight. But I made
it. It was at 5 a.m.
Correct.
So.
It was super early. And I could have had drinks at the Charlotte airport, but again, we had to work that day, so nothing there.
Yeah.
But at the Akron/Canton Regional Airport on Sunday, I had nothing to do. I did not have to drive, and I enjoyed my wine. And the Hacker was like, all right, we've nominated Lauren to be the designated sprinter, like Mia said. And then after like glass number three of Chardonnay, he's
not
like, she's had a bottle of Chardonnay. She's not going to be able to do it. I was like, I am still good to go. But yes, I did have, I didn't check a bag, so I still had my
carry-on. How was the Akron airport? Nice.
It was surprisingly,
I had one place to eat.
But no. So
at least it had a place to eat.
We'll tell you this. On the way back, yeah, that was where I was kind of like, this is the Canton Akron
Airport.
Poor
one bartender.
But seriously, she was yeah, she deserved every tip she got because let me tell you. But when we landed, I was surprised at, you know, how large it was because it's Canton Akron, mm-hmm. but also very clean. Yes. I was impressed with you know, just how wide open it was. I lived in Iowa. I know a tiny airport mm-hmm. when I see a tiny right. airport.
It wasn't tiny.
No, it wasn't at all. What really was funny when we got off the plane and Hayes, Lauren, and I were waiting by the luggage carousel, there actually was a line where they had fans, like natives of Akron and Canton and people who live there, who would line up because they knew it was Hall of Fame week. And they would wait for Hall of Famers and celebrities.
Oh.
For autographs. Like, they're actually, it was a designated line that said autograph line.
And did Hacker walk up and say, do you know who I am? He did have my hat on.
That's what I was about to say. He had his hat to explore.
He had his hat on.
But we had, obviously, Leon on the plane, and then also Willie Rofe was on the plane.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I think Willie Rofe might have been approached as he went through. I was a little bit ahead. But either way, I thought that part was super cool that you don't necessarily have to buy the, I think, $300 tickets to attend the official autograph signing.
Right.
That's connected to the Hall of Fame, you could certainly wait there.
Get them fresh off their flight.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And speaking of Chardonnay, I was able to make friends on both of my flights on the way home. And what people don't realize is for me, talking the entire time is helpful. And so having somebody to talk to the entire time is very helpful. Mia did not help me on either of the first two flights. But that's totally fine.
I slept.
It was early in the morning.
I was about to say, I'm surprised with that one.
No, I made a point and I said it to Richie afterwards that I felt bad that I didn't talk to Lauren. But I knew that because I had to get off the plane and go right to doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Richie and I literally, like, I put my luggage in the room and then we went downtown to do a site check and to start filming. And then I came back and had dinner with these guys. So, like, I knew if I didn't sleep, sleep was not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, because I don't sleep on planes, but I made the effort. I want to say hi to my friends, Mike and Shell. Shell's a new listener of Helmets and Heels. Mike's a longtime 15-year listener of 1010XL, so retired fire department with Jax.
Very nice.
So I sat next to them on the flight from Charlotte to Jacksonville. And I sat behind Leon and Hacker, so I watched the fellowship and the tag team, as they called themselves after the week that was. It was a good trip. We had a good trip. Honestly, like, Richie looked at me when I drove our engineer Richie back after the airport so we could drop all the gear off, and he said, in reality, it was only an hour and 20 minutes of delays on the way back. And he goes, considering what some people went through and canceled flights, and Joe Cowart's good friends got stranded in D.C., had to rent a car, drove 6.5 hours just to get to Canton by Friday. But for all intents and purposes, we made great timing, and we appreciate Donna Murphy being air traffic control beyond.
The stories you guys were telling from some of the fans. Man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it goes to show you just how committed they are. The woman I sat next to on my flight from Charlotte to Jacksonville, her name's Heidi, and her son advertises with us. He's a chiropractor. But shout out to her and her husband for listening to us. And so that was a lot of fun, and she bought me a Chardonnay. I was like, I have gotten multiple free Chardonnays in my last few plates. Like, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm doing something right. But we talked to some fans, Donna, that they flew into somehow, some way, they landed up in Chicago. They didn't fly directly to Chicago, but they ended up in Chicago. Then they went to take off from the Chicago airport, circled for an hour, something was wrong, landed, somehow, some way, got to Indianapolis, and then just drove from Indianapolis.
No good.
To Canton. Yeah.
They ran out of fuel in the air, which is like my nightmare scenario. Yeah. Crazy.
I was watching the news yesterday.
You see the gaslight come on in the airplane.
Right? I was watching the news and it said, like, a certain plane clipped a jet, and I didn't realize that it was on land when that happened. I was
oh my God.
If that had happened to me in the air, friends, like,
honestly,
no, that was on the ground.
No offense to our pilot on the way back, American. In the words of Jeff Prosser, but our guy was a great pilot. Like, we had a smooth takeoff and a smooth landing, but when we were sitting on the tarmac, this guy was stopping short. He almost hit a luggage cart. And I'm like, if this is what you're doing when you're driving, man. But then we got in the air and he was great. So I just be look
Maybe
out.
That's why he's a pilot.
Watch out for
he's
that
like,
guy.
I'm better in the air.
Yeah, watch out for that guy on a highway. But in the air, he's great.
Not
it's
many
great.
Luggage carts in the air. For
yeah.
That one.
But I would say we talked about our highlights of the entire trip yesterday. Certainly being there for the enshrinement is something you'll never forget. Tony's speech was fantastic. We'll catch up with two of his daughters in just a few minutes. That part was literally just one of the most memorable things I've ever witnessed. I would say, other than that, getting to go to dinner at a place called Bender's, which when we landed in the Charlotte airport on the way there, a super nice Jags fan came up to me and said that his company is headquartered in Canton. I was like, well, this worked out well. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, you got to go to Bender's. And then at the game, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, which we're not going to talk about the actual game because it was terrible, Thursday night, we saw Jeff and Tara Lagerman. Jeff, of course, calling the game with Frank and Tony wandering the stadium. I shouldn't say wandering the stadium as if he was aimless.
Lost.
He had a lot of activities to do. He did join them on the broadcast. But they raved about Bender's. Okay. So I was like, we got to go. So we went there Friday night, and we got to have a great time, but we got to see Mark Davis just a few feet away from us, mm-hmm. and then Fred Biletnikoff, and also Al Davis's widow. So that part to me was really cool because I was like, when again are you going to be able to be this close to kind of NFL royalty?
You saw Mark Davis pre-chicken wings? Or
this would have been post-chicken wings.
Post-chicken.
But I saw him actually twice post-chicken wings. Thursday night right after the game, and by this time because of the delay, it was probably Friday morning. Right. It was like 1 a.m. by the time all the post-game stuff was going on. And so we were in the bowels of Tom Benson Stadium. And I watched Doug Peterson embrace Mark Davis. And so I was like kind of near him then, mm-hmm. but nothing like getting to actually like watch him interact.
I took a Snapchat video.
Oh, you did?
I did see your Snapchat.
Yeah, I just post. It goes away after a day. It's fine. So it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't even take my phone out. I don't know what I'm allowed to do.
I just can't get over the fact that Mia was like in his face.
I just can't get over the fact that, well, I had it like discreetly over here. I just can't get over the fact that this man wears all white. Like, that's a risk. I wore an all white polo and a white hat today. Mm-hmm. And like, I still spilled part of my protein shake this morning on it. And like, and then a little bit of my coffee. Like, that's a risk. And Mark's out here, like, eating
chicken
wings.
He's taking all the risk. He's
like,
taking
come
all
on, man.
I mean, it's a risk with that hair. So,
I know.
You know.
It's all right. Certainly. That's cool. Everyone's like, he's got the worst haircut. And I'm like, well, I can now tell you, after seeing him in person, it is not any better. No offense to him, but it's not like all of a sudden I walked away going,
like,
oh,
it's
he's
not that bad.
Right. And yeah, certainly, Taylor, the chicken wings don't help whatsoever when he's just chowing down on those during the game. Most of the owners are usually like sitting there just politely, you know, in their suits. But whatever. We like people who do their
character.
Own thing. Absolutely. With character. And certainly his haircut. Excuse me, has character. All right, when we come back, we will check in with Ashley and Lexi Baselli. Obviously, super excited for their dad as he was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this past Saturday. I thought his speech was fantastic. We will talk to them when we return. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tara Litt on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
A Tuesday night tradition in Duval.
Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Donna's idea tonight for our music theme: songs from our favorite musicals. I have to admit, I'm not the biggest musical fan, but of course I had to go with Grease.
Yes, great choice.
In honor of course, in the movie Sandra Dee, but Olivia Newton-John passing away just a few days ago at the age of 73 after losing her battle with breast cancer. Grease, to me, is just one of those movies you can watch it a million times and never get tired of it.
Sure. I used to have this Grease on repeat. I was obsessed with that movie when I was younger. Knew every word to every song. I could act out like every part that was happening. Me and my stepsister were obsessed.
Well, it's so good. You've got John Travolta, you've got Olivia Newton-John, and then you've got everybody else too with Rizzo and everybody. It's got all the elements.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
Just so many like quirky, fun characters in it that you're just like, oh, okay, this person's funny, this person's mean, this person's crazy. It's fun.
How old were you, Taylor, when you watched it though?
I mean, I don't remember when it came out. I was young.
Well, it came out a while ago, but I'm just saying, because you watched Scream when you were young.
Yeah.
You watched Scream when
don't remember a time not watching Grease. Okay. So definitely very young.
Because if you rewatch it nowadays, you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have watched that when I was so young.
There's a lot of movies and songs that I listen to now that I'm like, okay.
Right.
That has taken a different meaning. And I have to say, as many times as I saw Grease when I was younger, I haven't seen it in at least 10 years, if not more than that.
Oh,
so
yeah, you got to rewatch it and be like, oh, how did I watch this mom so little?
Oops.
Absolutely.
Ooh, no.
When you mentioned musicals, I was like, how many musicals have I even seen, like,
it's
actually
probably
live?
More than you think.
I don't think so.
A lot of movie musicals these days.
Yes, yeah. That's true. I saw Footloose at the Alhambra Theater.
That's a musical.
A long time ago when I was, I think, in high school.
Great music in that.
And I saw Les Miserables in London when I was in high school. We went to that. That was very intense. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I'm not sure I've seen anything else. I've never saw Hamilton. I had girlfriends that went to that a few years ago. Yeah. I've never seen Cats or West Side Story.
We don't have to see something live for it
or even
to
the
be...
movies. I've never seen any of those.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll find out what y'all's favorites are.
I was obviously, I've mentioned on here previously, but like major chorus nerd. So yeah. I was all about the musicals, and I've seen a ton of musicals, ton of operas, ton of Broadways and all of that type of stuff. So that was definitely, was my genre for a while.
I will say, you saying that made me remember, what is the Tin Roof one?
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
Yeah, that one.
You saw?
Or there was another one I had to participate in.
When you went to Alhambra?
When I was in middle school.
When you went to Alhambra, did you see a musical or did you just see a play? Do you remember? Because
you've
been a few times.
Footloose was a musical.
Oh, that was at Alhambra.
Okay, yes, gotcha. That was at Alhambra.
Gotcha.
There's one, I'm going to have to look it up. There's one that I when I looked up, like, popular musicals earlier today, I was like, oh, I was in that one. Like, it was grade school, and it's been so long, I totally forgot.
I was in the Nutcracker. It was.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's a super popular one. Donna, you were probably in a few, right?
I was in the Nutcracker. Yep.
And any other musicals?
I'd have to think about that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Musicals, I don't know.
All right. Well, while we wait to talk to Ashley and Lexi Baselli, after their father was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Saturday, you ladies got to go to training camp. I was very excited to see you there.
Good.
Yes.
What was your favorite thing of training camp, favorite part that you watched, Donna?
For me, watching Trayvon Walker. I couldn't believe the size of this man.
Which, quick, funny story, Donna goes to me, Walker's fun to watch. And I was like, okay. She likes watching Walker Little, the offensive lineman?
No.
Okay. I mean, to each their own, and Walker does do well in drills. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, she meant Trayvon Walker. That makes more sense. And it's funny, when people ask Doug a question, they'll say Walker, and he has to clarify.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know. So yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed watching Trayvon Walker.
I mean, he is a behemoth. He is huge. And it's so funny because watching the Hall of Fame enshrinement, and listening to them talk about, first of all, listening to them talk about Richard Seymour and how Belichick picked him out and scouted him, and he had one sack on his resume and nothing else. All he had was potential, but he was the easiest guy to coach, and he wanted him. And I'm like, he's Trayvon Walker.
And he went to Georgia.
Yes, he's Trayvon Walker. That's going to be our
guy. So when we see Trayvon Walker in 25 years with that gold jacket on the stage,
that's who he is. And now I'm so excited when I watch him. I'm like, that's who you are.
And I was watching his speech right next to Ballou. And Ballou said, I wonder if he'll mention Belichick because Belichick traded him away. And he got to what I thought was the end of the speech. And I was like, well, there you have it. He didn't mention Bill Belichick. And then he paused, and then he went into the Belichick part, and I was like, okay, all right, no drama here.
I'm sure it was a little intentional. He was like, let me wait a little bit, push the limit.
That's what I kind of thought. And by the way, in Baselli's speech, when he mentioned local media, that's what I thought that was as far as he was going to go. I didn't think he was actually going to say
all the names
that he ended up doing. I thought it was just going to be a little teaser, and I was like, oh, he got them good.
And I love that he put the two of them last. And by the two of them, I, of course, mean Dan Higgin and Jeff Prosser. Yeah. For more on that speech and a whole lot more from Hall of Fame weekend, we are now excited to be joined on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, JJ.
Now, another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
By none other than Ashley and Lexi Baselli. My girls, how's it going? Welcome on to Helmets and Heels.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great. Have you guys recovered from the weekend that was?
Still recovering.
Yeah, not fully, for sure.
Ashley, have you gotten your voice back? Because there was a moment on Saturday where I was afraid that it was like Ursula and I had sucked your voice out from you and you were never going to have a voice again.
I don't think you were the only one. It's slowly making its way back. I got my tonsils out 2 weeks ago, and I really wasn't even supposed to travel, but I was like, I'm not missing this. So my voice slowly started deteriorating throughout the weekend, and by Saturday night, it was just gone. I sounded like it was not a sexy, raspy voice. Let's just say that.
See, I knew we were soul sisters because I spent the last 2 weeks with tonsillitis and they won't take mine out. So I may need a recommendation, a referral on the ENT. But girls, let's get into the weekend that was. But we're going to start from the beginning. Lexi, I know you talked to me and Ashley, you did as well. But we'll start with you, Lexi, about the knock. Your mom really kept a secret from you guys, a big secret. She didn't want you guys to know as they were plotting the big surprise with Anthony Munoz to knock on the door for your dad back in January. Walk me through that experience to now where we are today.
You know, that was just something super special in that moment. I don't even think looking back that it truly hit me then or even our entire family. And so it was just, I mean, from that moment, of course, we were just so incredibly proud of our dad. But now coming full circle to this weekend, it's seeing him walk through that gauntlet of men that are in the Hall of Fame and just being a part of that company now and being a part of this forever family. I mean, it's just something truly super special.
Ashley, what was it like when he finally got up on that stage and you heard the amount of fans, you saw the amount of fans wearing those Bocelli jerseys?
Well, it was definitely an emotional moment. I am a crier, so I was sobbing as, you know, they announced him, and then the emotional video where Uncle Mark Fennell was, you know, speaking so highly of him in the video, and it was just a surreal moment. And there are pictures to definitely show how we were all feeling. The line goes, my mom, Andrew, Adam, me, Lexi Ansley, and my mom and I are like ugly crying. And everyone else is just beaming with pride as, you know, he steps out onto that stage and he immediately makes eye contact with, you know, our family. And that moment is just something. And then hearing everyone yell Duval as he got on the stage and, you know, our whole family and friends, hundreds of people sitting behind us, is something that I just don't think we'll ever be able to put into words or definitely never experience again. And so being there with everyone was just, in that moment, was definitely surreal and amazing.
I want to go behind the scenes. Keegan-Michael Key interviewed y'all right after your dad's speech, and he asked you a question about, you know, what's one word that you'd describe your dad. Did he prepare you for that moment?
So we actually, right before my dad's speech, he said, okay, we're going to do this little quick segment. Maybe just have each of you guys say one word about your dad. So that was kind of all the prep we got. And I went to sit down after that, and I looked at everyone. I said, okay, guys, everyone needs to say other words. We don't say the same thing. No one's going to say the same words. And Ashley, Andrew, and myself, we look at one another, and we all say what the word that we were going to say.
I blurb out my word. I said, because I knew Andrew, at least, would take my word. And so I said, loyal was the word that came out. And I said, I claim it. And so I got it first. And Andrew was like, that's so fair. And my mom's like, nope, Ashley has that word. You're going to have to find another word. It's not that hard picking a word for your dad. But I think it does, you know, say a lot that we all went to go say loyal. But
like Ashley said, though, it was pretty easy to find another word to describe my dad. I mean, that was definitely not a challenge.
We didn't need much prep, let's just say that. So when he came back around, and it was really easy, and we weren't nervous at all. But we had saw him at the Super Bowl, and then we got to see him again this week, and we have spent a lot of time with him. So he's actually a familiar face, a friend, and he's genuinely one of the sweetest people ever. So it was really easy to talk to him, and it was definitely easy talking about my dad.
I love it. I think that I agree with you guys because I'm also a crier. I cry so easily. So I was honestly thinking, because I was like, I know if I'm tearing up watching this, I know some of them have to be also doing it. So aside from that moment, ladies, obviously that official enshrinement, seeing him put on the gold jacket moment had to have been huge, but it was a busy weekend for you. What were some of your favorite moments that you got to experience during those few days up in Canton?
I think the most emotional part for me actually was Friday night at the gold jacket ceremony. And what they do is they announce
each actually before they actually announced the class of 22 onto the stage, they announced all of the Hall of Fame or like previous Hall of Famers that are there for the week. And there had to be over 100 of them. There were, I think there was like 108 previous players, which is the largest amount of players that have been back for the enshrinement week ever. So this was the biggest reunion to date. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And so they had a Hall of Famer on the stage announcing every single player that had previous player, and each player would go to a different side of the stage. So they would rotate each person when every other player would go to a different side. And we didn't really understand that. And they're all standing on each side of the stage. And then they announced the class of 22. And what they would do is every person that would come to the stage, one player would walk to the left side of the stage, and then the next player would walk to the right. And as they would come up onto the stage, they would have to walk through the previous players. It was like a tunnel, and it was like a welcome to the brotherhood moment. And that moment for all of us, I think, was just like seeing our dad walk through the brotherhood of the Hall of Fame was really emotional. It was players that he's looked up to, players that have been nothing but supportive in this time of him, you know, getting inducted, like the whole process of, you know, the wait, and have been so great. So to see him walk through that brotherhood and then up onto the stage to see his ultimate brother, Mark Bunnell, put on the gold jacket for him, I think was definitely one of the more emotional parts of the week for me, at least. And I don't know, Lexi, what about you?
I think I may have to agree with that. That was a pretty emotional part for me and something super special. But I think also to the enshrinement when my dad gave his speech, that just really touched me. I'm unlike Ashley, I don't usually get choked up very easily. And that definitely caught me by surprise. I definitely got choked up from my dad's speech and just the way he spoke, and just seeing him just so joyous to receive that honor is truly something special. And I think another part for me too was just seeing everyone, all the family and friends that came out to support my dad through this entire process, that was just seriously so special. We're kind of joking. We're like, this is just like a big Baselli family reunion. This is awesome. So that was just super sweet and super special to see the family and friends come out and support that, support this moment for my dad and our family. I mean, that is something truly that I will never forget.
It's funny. I literally said to Joe Cowart this afternoon on XL Primetime, I was like, I felt like I was in the middle of a Baselli family reunion the entire time, and I loved every single moment of it. Ashley and Lexi Baselli joining us for a couple more minutes on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Ladies, in listening to some of the interviews your dad did this morning, he said the most emotional that he was throughout the weekend was yesterday, Monday morning, when everything was over and done with. And he was reading the Bible and doing his morning routine. So I'm curious, now that he's in the Hall of Fame, like, does he seem different? Like, did he say anything to you guys about now that this crazy process is over? Has your mom said anything to you guys about it being over?
You know, I think that's really funny that you mentioned that, because when we were talking to previous Hall of Famers, you know, throughout the week, and they just said, you know, get ready for a huge emotional, like, roller coaster, because you get to this point where it's like such a high and so happy and so great, and you know, you've reached the ultimate goal in football, but it's really cool to come back to, you know, Jacksonville or your hometown and have still have the support, and it still be just so surreal. And it was really funny because I actually got home Sunday because I, you know, had to come home early for something. But when my parents got home yesterday, my dad was just like, man, I am just so happy, but I am so tired. He was so exhausted. He was like, I just want to sleep, and I want to get food to go. We got Cthulhu Italian.
Yum. Delicious.
Yes, to go. And we got a whole spread with cannolis, everything. We were ready to go. And we just munched down on some good Italian food, and then we zonked out for sleep. So as far as what's next, I think sleep. And I think just, you know, getting ready for the ring ceremony in October is going to be really fun here in Jacksonville.
and just kind
of, we're all still trying to recover a little bit. It's kind of the lull after the storm right now. You know, you get go from really high highs, but kind of just back to reality. And it's like, oh man, can we go back to that? I mean, that was so awesome.
We're ready to go back to Saturday night tailgate with Tony. I think we're just, like you said, recovering, but also so overwhelmed with just gratitude at this whole weekend. I mean, I think my dad saying the most emotional part was for him was Monday. I can totally understand why. I mean, you just look back on what this weekend was and what it meant to him and our family, and you just can't help thank God for all the blessings in our lives and just be so grateful for just this amazing honor and this family that we're now a part of.
Yeah.
And ladies, I have to say, I talked to my parents over the weekend after we got back from Canton, and they said, my dad specifically said, you know, I think Tony's really lucky. And I thought he meant with football. And he said, Angie seems like an amazing wife and mother. So we've talked a lot about your dad, but give a little shout out to your mom and everything she did.
Well, as easy as my dad is to talk about, my mom is just as easy.
She matches that.
My mom is truly a saint. If you've met her, you would agree. She is, you know, she runs a million miles a minute, but she does it with such grace and like
joy.
Like I think she is the definition of joy. She's constantly happy. She forgets about bad things and she lives every day to the fullest. And she, you know, she has 5 kids, so it's a lot to manage at times, but she does it so gracefully and she is the best wife to my dad and she's definitely the foundation, the rock of the family, along with my dad. But she, I think, loved this week just as much as any of us, if not more. I mean, she's been with my dad since, you know, she was 20. So
I think my mom definitely, though, had a little bit of the tougher job this weekend, just preparing for everything and making sure us kiddos were all set, even just like silly things, like what we were going to wear and flights and all those sort of things. And so honestly, she's just so amazing. We're just so grateful for all that she did. And like Ashley said, with just such joy and like, she was just so ready to serve and make this so special for my dad. And so seeing that and then seeing it all come to fruition this weekend, I mean, I think that was one of the best parts for her, just to see how much my dad was able to enjoy this and just making it so special for him and our family. She always makes everything that we do so special. And so this just was nothing, just one more moment where she just shined and just made it special for every single person that was a part of it.
And all the go ahead, Ashley.
I was saying, like, planning just everything, even down to the party, is like planning a wedding. So I don't think people realize, you know, like, it took months and months and months of preparation. And she was, you know, the planner. So a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that not many people know about fell on her shoulders. So we're really grateful for her after this week, especially.
And all the while, she's also coaching 3, not just 1, not just 2, 3 cheerleading teams, of which your little sister is only a part of 1 of them. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
She coaches 2 other ones, too.
Yes, she definitely, that is out of love.
We don't know how she does
it.
We don't know how she does it.
Yeah, it's out of love for sure. And she did that with Lexi and I, and she definitely wanted to do it with Ansley to be part of her life. You know, she always likes making things in all of our lives very special, and she does it so well. And so this weekend was just another example and nothing short of all that she does for us.
Well, we appreciate you guys. You guys are getting a lot of love on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. A lot of folks loving hearing from you guys about your experience out in Canton. Of course, cheering on your dad. Appreciate Ashley and Lexi Baselli for joining us here on Helmets and Heels on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Ladies, you're both queens. You know that. I'll be catching up with you soon.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys.
And best
you guys are the best. Nice chatting with you guys.
Best of luck in Gainesville. I know you guys are headed back to school in a couple weeks.
We're moving in tonight.
Oh my gosh. Quick turnaround. Appreciate you girls.
Thank you guys. Bye.
All right. That's Ashley and Lexi Baselli, the 3rd and 4th oldest children of Tony and Angie Baselli.
Moving in tonight.
Quick turnaround.
It's actually smart based off of the heat that obviously exists both here and in Gainesville. So I've done that move many a time. And yes, like Mia said, certainly good luck to them in the move. And just, I love hearing behind the scenes stories. So that was awesome. Thanks for setting that up, Mia. All right, when we come back, we're going to get it back to some training camp thoughts. Taylor did not get to yet give her thoughts on training camp yesterday and a whole lot more. Some Jags Browns talk as well as a special surprise in the 7 o'clock hour. Ooh. Can't wait for that. Taylor has a surprise for us. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
These heels are made for talking.
Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
525,000 moments sold dear. 525,000. JJ just told us in the break that musicals are not his thing either. And by the way, Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof.
I was going to say that, but you were saying something about 10, and I was like,
that's why
I just remember Roof. Yeah, I just remember Roof. So, yeah, JJ, we'll
I do know this song. This is Rent.
Yeah, that's
you, JJ.
I've never seen this. So, Taylor, this is your song.
Yes, this is. As I was saying earlier, was a chorus nerd, so I love musicals, and Rent was one of my favorite. This song was actually the song we sang at my high school graduation too, as like our final goodbye song. Yeah.
Isn't this song about like dying?
No. It's this. I mean, the movie.
No, that's TLC.
Yeah.
No, just don't go chasing waterfalls. The movie. Which is what it was like my high school and college graduation anthem. Oh,
no.
So.
No, like the movie Rent in general is about like the struggles of living in low-income areas and all of that. So there is dying in it. But the song itself is just about, she's like, how do you measure someone's life by just saying they've lived 50 years? Like, there's a lot more
in between
that time. And so, yeah, it always reminds me of my high school graduation, which was a sad day.
Was
for
it?
Me. Yeah, I was super sad.
I was ready to get out of the halls of Bishop Kinney High School and move right along. By the way, before we get back to football, I just wanted to let everyone in on the news that's going on, as far as I know a lot of people are paying attention to LIV versus the PGA Tour. A federal judge in California has ruled that the three golfers who joined LIV will not be able to compete in PGA Tour's postseason. Those were the three that were trying to play in the PGA Tour Championship.
No, Cam's not one.
Cam is still eligible because he has not joined LIV yet.
Officially.
Although when asked today, Cam Smith said, I have no comment on that. I'm here to play the
playoffs.
I'm
sure he doesn't.
No, he has no.
Because none of them want to comment, because all they really are saying is, we're just going to take the money and run, like Steve Miller said, which if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. But the government, at least so far, the judge has decided, the legal system, I should say, has decided that, in the words of Dylan Dethier, who covers golf, so far the LIV guys can't have their cake and eat it too. So there you go.
There you go.
All right, Taylor Dahl, you got to attend training camp practice. Unfortunately, you went to the one yesterday versus the one on Sunday. I wish the two of you had been able to go to the one on Sunday, because that's when, obviously, the pads were popping, and a lot of people were not able to go since we were traveling back.
Yeah.
So I wish you'd been able to see some of that action. But yesterday, still a good practice.
Yeah.
It's certainly hot out there. What'd you think?
Well, and especially, like Donna said, we're usually here, so we haven't been able to go to any of them. So it was just cool for me in general to see some of these guys in person. I know we were kind of joking about the Walker Little over Trayvon Walker thing when Donna made the comment about she loved watching Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally liked watching the line. But I think the main thing was the offensive line.
Okay.
And where we were kind of standing when we first got there, it was obviously drills going on. And the defensive guys were on the sides doing their own little thing, but they were kind of rotating in and out with other players. But the offensive line was going, and I was like super interested in that, because I was seeing obviously a lot of that like three tight end set type of thing. And I was seeing at one point it was Farrell, Dan Arnold, and I didn't see Evan Engram at this
Manhurst.
One. It was Manhurst. Yeah, those three. And so it was kind of cool to see the way they were shifting the offensive line and who was – and obviously once Trayvon got out there, him battling, because they were kind of putting him on each side too, rotating back and forth. So that was kind of cool for me to see, because for me, when I'm watching the game, obviously I'm watching Trevor Lawrence to whoever he's throwing it to, or the running back for the most part. And then you're seeing the sacks, you're seeing the QB pressures, you're seeing the tackles and stuff like that. But I'm not as focused on the offensive line when I'm watching the game in real time. So it was cool for me to see that, and because that was also one of the closer aspects for a lot of the time that we were out there. And that was probably one of my favorite things, just because, like I said, it was just the view we had. I made a joke at one point because we were standing in the hole. All of the defensive guys were standing right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this how Kyler Murray feels behind his offensive line? Because I cannot see anything.
And that's just imagine, by the way. At least they were on that first field. I feel so bad for the family and friends when they're on the far field. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, these poor people are standing out here in the heat.
Yeah.
And they can't even see them because they're not even on the first field.
Yeah. And luckily they were right there, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then afterwards, they let, you know, some of the guys were signing autographs and stuff. So they came over and chatted a little bit with some of them. And one of the fans were asking Shaq Griffin if he's came up with like their name. He's like, oh, Legion of Boom, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys have a new name yet? And he was like, oh, we're working on it. Like, we got it. So all the little kids were like shouting things of what they should call him. One kid was like, Jack's a villain. And I was like, oh, that was cute. It was like a little kid. But it was, so it was cool.
I
it was
just Taylor. Ideas. That was you.
Yeah. I yelled it.
JJ's got ideas.
Oh, yeah. Do you? We need to tell Shaq.
No, terrible names. They suck. Bums.
No, but yeah, it was a cool experience. We honestly got lucky. It was hot, but it was only like 87. And I know some of the camps you guys have been to have been like 95. So I can't complain. But
well, and y'all get treated to the tent, which is lovely. And bleachers. And we, I guess, could be intense. But obviously, if you're trying to watch all the action up close, you kind of have to move around. But really, I would say this training camp, I can't complain. Has it been hot? Am I sweating? Of course. It's Florida in the summer.
Yeah.
But compared to 2 years ago, when we were confined to the bleachers and we had to wear masks.
Oh, gosh.
That, for me, will always probably be the worst of all.
And we
of
had
them.
To stay 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah, stay apart.
Everyone
so
had a
really talk.
Tracker.
You had to, you had to bring your own
water. Everybody had a tracker on them.
So it would beep if you got too close.
But if you got too close.
But they give us endless water and Gatorade, which is awesome. But speaking of Gatorade, do we have something cool coming up, Taylor, that
we're
going to give away?
I don't know if anybody has heard it yet, but we actually have some of the Trevor Lawrence Gatorade bottles. It's actually a full kit, so it's a really nice bottle. Obviously, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it was his personalized. He designed it himself, Gatorade bottle. And also a few different flavor Gatorades they have in there that go specifically with this bottle. So it's super cool. But we have a handful of them to give away that we're giving away today, tomorrow, and Thursday. You just have to listen to. There's like a training camp montage. Listen for the whistle is what we're calling it. So if you just listen for whether it be in the middle of a commercial break, going into a commercial break, whatever, you will hear the training camp montage. It sounds like you're sitting there listening to a drill at camp. And when you hear that, just call 641-1010, and you have the chance to win one of those Trevor Lawrence bottles.
That's awesome. And we also have a pair of tickets to give away to Friday night's game upcoming, so be listening. When we come back, Taylor has a special surprise for us, and we will also get it to a little Jags at Browns. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by a Tire Outlet on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010 XL.
See my wife, my golden, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin.
I have no idea what this is, Mia, but you are dancing, so I know it's your song.
It's not mine. It's Fiddler on the Roof.
This is your starring role.
If I were a rich man.
I told you I didn't even remember that I was in this thing to begin with.
So I didn't get to say it because we were waiting on Ashley and Lexi Pacelli. Thanks again for them for joining us. But deep down, not deep down, my college roommates like to joke that there are three places in the whole wide world that I will actually shut up and be quiet at.
Mm. Okay.
Number one.
I'm going to write this down.
I would hope a movie theater.
Movie theater is one. Movie theater is one. Number two, museums.
Okay.
And number three.
Plane rides with Lauren.
Yes. That too. Also, the lady doctor where I was earlier today. Also, not so quiet there. No, the third one is musicals and plays. I was a theater kid growing up. I was a very big theater kid growing up. So that's why I secretly know all.
I bet you do talk during movies.
No, I don't.
No.
You want to bet?
I do.
You want to bet?
I do. So I just assumed you're the same type of person.
When I'm watching like with someone like on a couch,
that's what I mean.
No, but in a movie theater.
In a movie theater.
I'm silent. I am like locked in. Yeah. Ask any of my friends from growing up. Like, I'll never forget a couple. Like, I thought I was so cool in seventh grade. A bunch of the eighth graders invited me to go see Pirates of the Caribbean. And I legit just like was so locked in. We left the theater and they're like, you didn't speak the whole 2.5 hours. And I was like, yeah, because I was watching the movie. And they were
Pirates
like,
of the Caribbean was awesome.
Yeah.
And it's not, what also, we
not a musical.
For.
I still, right. They wanted me to talk to them. And I guess that didn't happen. I firmly believe Pirates of the Caribbean 2 with the triple cliffhanger. Oh my God. Some of the best cinematic writing we've seen in the 21st century.
No.
The triple cliffhanger? Like, you thought it was going to end. You thought it was going to end. And then all of a sudden.
I wish it did end.
You said you hate those movies?
I like the first one, but, like, man, they really stretched
too
it out.
Too much. No, yeah. No,
I was the same way.
This was number
like
two,
like a triple
though.
Cliffhanger.
Which one was the one where they were, like, all dead?
Where, it's all of them. They're
no,
always all
they're,
dead.
They were like ghosts. Was that the second one?
That's the second one.
Okay, it's way too long.
This was the one where, like, you thought it would end.
Maybe
you thought it would end.
It
and then what's his name?
One.
The villain from number one shows up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? And then black. It was amazing. I loved it.
What? No, you got to go.
Again, I'm a big
one.
Nerd for writing. So, sorry. And musicals.
I have never felt less knowledgeable about our music theme than I do tonight.
I thought you were going to say interested.
Oh, no, no. I'm not going to be flat out rude, Don. That's not my personality. I just am so not knowledgeable about musicals. But either way. All right, Taylor, take it away.
Okay. So last season, we had a, I guess we can say game segment, whatever.
A feature.
That was, yes, a feature that was who played better. And we kind of went through the season and it got very boring because the Jaguars did not play better at any point in the season. So
three times they played better last season.
It got to a point where it was a little dull. So I was just thinking, processing through some ideas of a fun thing we could do throughout the football season. And one of the things I came up with was kind of based off of, because I watch Good Morning Football every morning, and they do a something kind of similar on their morning show.
Big deal or no big deal?
Yes. Okay. And so
I'm boycotting that show, by the way.
Oh, because you're upset about Kay Adams leaving?
Absolutely.
Jamie Erdahl's fantastic.
We love Jamie.
Learn to love
whatever.
She's adorable. Anyways, this one, we're working out the final details of it, but we're thinking a who cares or uh-oh. And as I was like kind of jokingly writing it, and Donna was like, I like uh-oh, like that's fitting because there's a lot of moments where you're just like, uh-oh, like what is that? And that this could go to everything that's been happening with the Bears the last few days, but we'll get to that maybe a little bit later. So pretty much the gist of it, I will pick something each week. It may be football related to the Jags. It may be NFL related. It may be basketball. It may be playoff baseball related, whatever. We could talk about Chris Sale today. That's uh-oh.
Who cares?
What kind of accident was it? Motorcycle? A bicycle.
That would be a lot more manly.
The glass man fell off his bike and shattered, okay?
He just can't. I mean, it's insane. He needs to give up.
Literally
who rides a bicycle during the season if they're injury prone?
And he just got back from injury.
He is
right.
Hurt.
That's why I said, who cares?
Was he riding in Boston when he got hurt? I don't know the details of the accident. I need more information.
Sure, yeah, we do need more information because I'm not sure either. But
it is a who cares. It is not an uh-oh.
I ride my bicycle a lot. I need to know these things.
All right. So anyways, I picked one today. So we'll just start. It's a trial run of, and you guys just tell me pretty much like, as in, who cares? Not a big deal. This won't be a storyline or this won't affect anything. Or, uh-oh, this could potentially be a problem. That's kind of where we're going with it.
I love it.
Okay. So the first one that I'm going to start with is Mac Jones going to figure it out? I'll go into some details with it. So the Patriots' decision, they haven't named an offensive coordinator yet. They've kind of put Joe Judge and Matt Patricia in a prominent offensive coaching role, which neither of them have done that. So it's kind of weird. And it's a lot of issues have arisen out of the Patriots camp because of it. The offense, from what reports are saying, which you hear it around the league, like there's struggles here and there, but there has been a lot of negative comments coming out of the camp, and not just like, oh, Mac Jones is struggling a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. This is the worst camp we've ever seen, and it looks disorganized. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. It looks disjointed. There's a lot of confusion, which is not something we usually hear from a Bill Belichick-ran football team. So the discussion, that hasn't died down. It's just amped up, and even to the point where practices lately have literally, people have used the words confused, and that they're, you know, being led by Mac Jones, it's just doesn't look like it was looking last year. They said Monday's session was reportedly one of the low points of the summer, but Jones told reporters, I'm going to figure it out. I always have, and I always will. So is this a uh-oh?
Donna, I'll defer to you.
Or who cares?
I would say this is a big uh-oh. It's a big uh-oh, especially seeing how his offensive coordinator is now in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And the wide receiver core is dim to, if anything, left. He has a couple of tight ends. That's what you have there. They always have the running backs, and that's fine. But because
didn't he just spend a ton of money in the offseason, though, too? Like the most they've spent?
That was last offseason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They always have everything in place. That is Belichick. He always has everything in its place. And seeing how he still has yet to determine who the coaching staff is, he will not name names, is very unlike Belichick. This is something we haven't seen in an offseason with Belly. And I don't know if it's because he's trying to determine where his son fits in this role. People were very unhappy last season where his son was with the defensive side, not happy with how he was calling plays. If he was the one calling plays, they still were unsure with what his role officially was. So I don't know if that's where the tug and pull is, but I don't know. But if Mac Jones has nobody to answer to or to talk to, yeah, that's a big uh-oh.
I'll say this much. Mac Jones, pretty easy guy to get along with. Looked pretty good as a rookie. Mm-hmm. Played for Nick Saban's. Got a pretty good head on his shoulders. Played for Corky Rogers here locally in Jacksonville. If he is saying the words, yeah, we're still trying to get our feet wet.
Yeah.
3 weeks into training camp. And you got Matt Patricia, who, as Taylor alluded to, has never really led an offense. And he is out here completely switching the zone blocking scheme of the offensive line. What are we doing? Yeah. Like, it is very uncharacteristic of the Patriots. At the same time, maybe it's all just smoke and mirrors because they actually really like what they have. I will say this, with all due respect to your Chicago Bears wide receiver room, Taylor, which are RIP because it's obviously it's a war of attrition over there right now. Looking at the Patriots wide receiver room, and I know my guy Matt Hayes on XL Primetime loves to joke that the Jaguars wide receiver room is 3-3-3, slot guy, slot guy, slot guy. Patriots wide receiver room isn't much better. And that's what gives me pause because that's historically what it always is up there for the most part. But
they have Tom Brady.
They have Tom Brady and they're able to make it work. If you're struggling to get the offensive line off the ground running, how are you going to work with the fact that you don't have this premier number one wide receiver or a premier tight end? I mean, yeah, I guess they did pay Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith out of Tennessee last year. So you do have them. But, like, that's the thing. It's like they've always been able to make lemonade out of lemons because of Belichick. So, like, why are you empowering two guys that got fired? I don't understand.
I mean, I would say it's more of the – it's not going to be an issue. I'm not going to say who cares because we do care about our hometown product. But I think they'll figure it out. Bill Belichick is the master at pulling strings when he needs to. And so I think he'll name an offensive coordinator in the future, or maybe he's going to hire outside of his organization, which would be very strange at this late in the game. But if he doesn't like what he's getting out of Judge and Patricia, he could certainly do that. He could take it over himself, even though he's a defensive mind. You know, you never know, but I fully believe they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and I think with Bill, I mean, he could make a phone call and be like, hey, I need you as an OC. And majority of people, unless you're obviously at a head coaching job somewhere, would be like, okay. Because it does seem to me like he doesn't like the options right now for that OC position. And it's a little bit obvious if you haven't decided. And like you said, I mean, games start this week and you don't have a set offensive coordinator.
There was a game last week.
There was. But for them, I'm saying like their game is
they play Thursday.
Yeah, they play and you don't have an OC. So it'll be interesting. Another thing that Donna and I were discussing that we want to kind of start this season too, just to get listeners a little more involved. So for the next few weeks until the first regular season starts, we are going to be talking about this just to get more people involved. But we want to do one of the simple just weekly pick'em polls pretty much. So it'll be through one of the platforms. However you contact, if you want to text in, if you want to call, just give us your name and number and I'll contact you and we'll figure out a way to do it. But it'll be one of those generic, like, pick who wins.
Is it straight up pick 'em or is it against the spread?
Straight up pick 'em.
Okay.
And so there's obviously a tiebreaker, which is usually the Monday night game. They'll have you pick a score for that. So that way, just in case, and you know, there's that tiebreaker at the end of it. And just it gives us a little more incentive. It's fun for us to compete and get the listeners involved. And, you know, through the season, we can see who's picking the best and who's picking the worst. And it calculates everything for us. So you can go on and check and see who's winning. So if you wanted more information for that, like I said, text in, tweet me, call in, whatever, and we'll figure out ways to get everyone involved.
And your Twitter handle is?
It's @TayDoll1010XL.
Beautiful. I think it sounds like a lot of fun, and I can already predict I will not win.
Whatever.
Why, you're bad at picking the games?
I am. I'm terrible at, I always get a gut feeling, and then my gut feeling ends up being wrong. I'm usually one of the worst in our weekly pick 'em on the Frangie show. So it is what it is, but that's okay. I keep trying, and it
maybe
will
this
be
one will be
fun.
A little easier yeah. because you'll get to log on and look at it yourself and
that's
not have
true.
To like yes. do it on air.
And
under
there's
pressure
no like
with
loser Monday. You don't have to buy anything.
Yeah. Thank
so there's
goodness.
No stress on it.
And thank goodness there hasn't been one of those in a while because you know? I'm the loser of the year currently.
And JJ, we want you in on this.
I'm so down.
Okay.
JJ will be good at it.
We should put some money on it.
I was just going to say, our resident degenerate gambler
maybe
over here to my left is ready. He's ready for this moment.
I have my fantasy draft this weekend, and I'm not looking for it.
Already?
That's early.
Oh, yeah.
Jakeem Grant tore his Achilles today. There's a lot of injuries that could happen.
Very early. I'm doing mine literally on the 3rd.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. You got to do it.
Well, I go to mine.
Yeah, yeah, no, you could still do a Labor Day weekend. That's what I did in Iowa.
I'm just saying, like, we have to get, like, people from all over to come.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's a whole
you going,
thing.
So you going home to SloCal?
I am.
So why are you not looking forward to it?
I hate fantasy football. It's stupid.
But is it a bunch of, like, your old buddies from growing
yeah,
up?
Yeah, that's the only that's reason I play. It's just, like...
Can you do the auto draft? I used
to
love those.
No, we don't. We have to be there you know, picking it. You know, it's not online. Right. I wish it was.
Yeah, I used to be in some of Mike Dempsey's, and one time he was like, all right, it's going to be, and he told me the draft was going to start, I think it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I was like,
auto
draft. But I didn't lose, so there's that.
I do have an update on the Chris Sale from Mama.
Oh, okay. Yes.
She said he was training at Boston College throwing, took a lunch break, rode his bike to get lunch, ran over something, and fell off his bike.
Oh, my
gosh. That's what happened.
As an avid bicyclist, I can tell you. Just be careful. Just be careful out there, America.
Well, we know Lauren fell off her bike once.
Oh, yeah.
We saw the scrapes.
Oh, yeah. I still have the scar from it.
You have a scar. And when TC got into his bicycle accident in 2020, I know when I first heard it, I was afraid it was like a collision with a car. It was with another bicyclist.
Yeah.
So
what
listen,
are the odds?
They're crazy out
the bicyclists
there.
Are crazy in this town. And in Boston, evidently.
The Peloton, that's what it is. All right, when we come back, we'll get it to one of Taylor's favorite people on earth, Aaron Rodgers. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud.
These heels are made for talking.
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010 XL.
If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my
parade? Mia, this is your song?
Of course it is. I told you guys I was a theater kid. So, do you know what song this is?
I have absolutely
I'm just surprised you didn't go with the Barbara version.
Oh, yeah, oh no. See, Lea Michele, as much as for the theater nerds that are listening, obviously.
I don't think we have any of those.
I hope you're not going to say Lea Michele is better than Barbara.
No, I was not. Like, what I was going to say is there's some drama involved. Apparently, the musical theater community is up in arms. Let me explain. Allow me to explain.
Okay.
You are listening to Lea Michele singing Don't Rain on My Parade.
She's from Glee.
Correct. So this is the original recording from Glee, circa 2009. Don't Rain on My Parade is from Funny Girl, the musical, which in Glee, that's the musical that they do and that Lea Michele's character wants to have the lead in. As we have now found in the last decade or so, Lea Michele is a little high maintenance. She also may or may not be able to read. I didn't realize that either. But recently, in the last month, she actually was cast in the real life Broadway version of Funny Girl.
Oh.
And evidently, she got that role over some other actresses that are big names in the theater world.
Okay.
And so, people were up in arms that Lea Michele, who so many people have tried to cancel, finally, after, like, she literally is living what happened in Glee. Like, they hated her.
Yeah.
The other kids in the class hated her. And she still got the lead in Funny Girl. And that's literally what is happening in real life. That's not the reason I chose it, though. That was one of my, again, I was a big theater kid. I also did speech and debate. And so on the speech and debate bus, me and my best friend, Nicole, shout out Nicole Millars, her birthday was last week. I did remember to text her on the flight next to Lauren before I fell asleep. we used to listen to all the Glee soundtracks, like in addition to like a pump up playlist before we got to the tournament. We listened to a lot of Glee. because Glee was really big then. And so Don't Rain on My Parade and Don't Rain on My Parade, and then Maybe This Time, which is from from Schitt's Creek. What's the one that they do? Cabaret. Okay. I almost submitted that as my song as well, because then in in Schitt's Creek, that's what Stevie sings, and it's the same. She sings Maybe This Time, and I always listen to those two songs as inspiration. Don't Rain on My Parade, and Maybe This Time I'll Win. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, right?
Yes, you do.
I know. You would have appreciated the Schitt's Creek version, JJ, right?
No. I don't even know what that is.
You never seen that show?
I'm thinking about dumping it. No.
Oh, you would love it.
It's a show.
I wondered that too. If we needed to dump it.
Schitt.
Yeah, I think
it's the name of the town.
It's a TV show.
It's so funny. It's one of my favorites.
I never saw a single Glee episode. I can't say that.
No?
Nope. I think we all know what I like to watch, and that would be sports. I'm very boring. Mm-mm. All right. Aaron Rodgers, he probably is a theater kid. He seems to be a bit of a crazy person.
Yeah.
Not
like
calling
Nicolas
theater
Cage,
kids crazy people.
So.
Just saying he is all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even pronounce his hallucinogenic or whatever it is. Ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Yeah. Ayahuasca. Okay, JJ, tell us more about the psychedelic.
I don't know. I honestly have never done it. But it's something where, like, it's become famous from Joe Rogan over the last handful of years. And, like, people will go and do these, like, go to these resorts in South America sometimes and, you know, take DMT and have, like, a trip session. And they'll say it'll change their life. And they look at things differently now. And apparently he did that.
But the NFL is not going to do anything about it.
It's not on the banned substance.
Yeah. Right. Did that surprise you?
No.
Okay.
Because it's like so niche. You know, it's not like he's not out there doing heroin, people.
Which, by
although
the way,
that wouldn't surprise me.
By the way, when we were in Canton, at one point, Tony Smith asked me, he said, "Have you been watching the local news?" And I was like, I have to be honest.
No. Not in about 25 years,
Tone. And I have to be honest, I have not even turned on my
television. No offense, Mia.
Right. Since we've been up here.
I don't watch the local news, even when I was on the local news. So don't worry.
But so he asked me, and I was like, no, I haven't been watching. You know, what am I missing? And he's like, well, apparently up here, there is a big heroin problem. And
oh,
he's like,
yeah.
So there's, yeah. I had no idea.
I didn't need to watch the news. I just see people on the side of the street asking for cash.
That is true. But so there were curfews. A lot of businesses were closed. He said he saw a ton of signs and things like that. And I was the one in our rental vehicle. I was doing all the navigating. So I wasn't exactly like looking around a lot. And so I never saw any signs or anything like that. I will say they did have some, I think, kind of morbid signs in Ohio on the side
of the highway. Oh, it's
bad up there. Well, it said,
fentanyl.
This could be your last text.
Oh my god!
Oh, like about texting and driving.
Right, we did pass that a lot. We did pass.
I was
sign
like,
a lot.
I mean,
oh my god!
I appreciate what you're trying to get across.
I love that.
But at the same time, like that is kind of scary because I'm not the one driving, but it still could be my last text. You never
and
know.
And it's like, why is my phone plan changing?
You're, like, you're on the way to the airport.
Right.
Oh yeah, your plane's
I know. So
yeah, the whole Aaron Rodgers, it's interesting to me because it's not on the banned substance. I was a little surprised by it only because there's literally, it's like 7 pages long, the banned substances, but I guess it is like a weird, like people who do it go to like South America and Mexico and like all these like, those types of places to do this, and that's where, like, it's a thing. And that's where he was. I think he said South America. But he...
I believe it's poison from a frog.
Yeah. And okay. So it's
it reeks of it should be on the banned substance.
It's illegal in the United States.
Live
it's a Schedule I substance,
how
as
dare
is
you.
The, you know, a lot of
live
the drugs
off.
That are banned substances. Yeah. So it's a little odd.
If it's illegal in the United States, it should be on the banned substance.
That's
I
what,
don't know if it is illegal.
It is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, DMT is illegal, so that's like what
I've
is
never
the main
heard
part
of any of this stuff. Like y'all are saying DMT, and I was like,
not
wait,
shocked
do I,
by that.
Do I need to know what DMT is?
I'm thinking it's a bomb.
That's TNT. I have heard of TNT.
No,
but yeah, what DMT is a type of
tryptophan, I think, or something like that.
Right, okay, yeah, is that a like type of ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca. I don't know. I think it's the same. I'm not sure.
I'm really bad at
but
the drug conversation.
Yeah, it has
and
the
I can't
same
act like,
effect.
I can't act like I'm a pro from it. I just it's definitely words that I've heard. I know DMT, like your body produces. It's like the whatever, when you die, your body, like, I don't know how to explain.
It's a
like,
hallucinogen.
Releases DMT. So like that's
this
what they say when people
last
die. Yeah.
Is it true if you poop yourself when you die?
Yeah.
Answer that one.
Should have asked Rogers that question.
People say.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's very interesting, but I guess he obviously knows well enough that he could come out and say it and not get in trouble, or he wouldn't have vocally talking about it that way. But he did say it. He helped him have the best couple seasons that he's ever had. So
was before the last two seasons. Yes. I thought this was like this summer.
No, this is he wanted to, quote, learn how to unconditionally love himself.
Yes.
So that he could give that love to his teammates.
Oh, yes.
One of two straight MVPs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he, to
and
me,
he got engaged.
That's
and then
a performance enhancing drug, and he needs to be banned for life.
Exactly.
All those wins should be taken away, especially against the Bears.
First of all, his numbers don't even say that he should have won the MVP.
Oh, my God.
They don't. You can look him up, but still. It should be. It should be on the banned substance.
Yeah, it's very odd to me.
We haven't said his name, so Donna, go ahead and just say it.
Yes, Brady should have won MVP. Yes, that is true.
There it is.
Can you believe first in
I saw
everything.
The stat the other day that no player on the Buccaneers has ever won the MVP award.
Well, who would it have been? Brad Johnson?
Well, I mean, I guess you don't give it to a defensive player
exactly.
circa 2002. So that, right. Yeah, so that's why no one right. from
Warren
that
02,
Warren Sapp, like none of those guys would have won it because at
Although
that time.
Keyshawn never?
That was, yeah, I guess he was there for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
Well,
When's the last time
a wide receiver won, though? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same odds as a wide receiver winning mm-hmm. the Heisman. I mean, when Devontae won it,
right.
it's been, what, 50 some odd years? But no, it's funny to me that I feel like Brady's been in Tampa now forever. It's literally been 2 years.
Because
I'm like, what do you mean
forever.
He hasn't won the MVP?
Yeah, I know. You're like, what?
In
but
the league forever.
Really quick, back to that, because I'm seeing a lot of texts on the text line talking about, like, oh, it's made from natural stuff. It's not a drug because you have to alter something to make it a drug. I get that. Like, my whole point, though, are there are natural substances on this banned list that people are
right.
getting suspended full years for,
right.
and he's not getting in trouble. That's
right.
my point. I get, like, we can get in the nitpick of, like, what should be allowed and what shouldn't.
It's
the bottom
Aaron
line
Rodgers.
Is
All I know
some
is
of the stuff
if
is.
The league
Justin
loves
Fields,
Aaron Rodgers.
If Justin Fields was like, this summer, I went to the ayahuasca retreat, and I totally changed my life. You would be coming back and be like, ayahuasca, everyone needs to take it.
No, I would not.
We're going on a field trip.
I'm not a drug person
no,
at all,
I
so I would not. But
I bet you the league probably would have said, oh, this is a banned substance.
Oh, yeah. They would have been like, suspended for the year. You also have to go
this out.
You have to go back into the draft and get redrafted by somebody else.
And the Bears are banned.
Yes.
I think the last wide receiver who won NFL MVP was none other than Randy Moss in 1998.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He didn't even win the year that Brady threw him all those touchdowns. So sad.
Nope. And Cooper Kupp this year finished third behind Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Third. Aaron Rodgers is such a joke, man. Take your Nicolas Cage self and leave.
We have to go to break, but they did have like the Barstool guys. Did you watch any of that interview?
I have not watched
which,
that. I have
oh
not
my
watched
gosh.
That. And I need to listen on the ride home to Chris Sims. Somehow in the 45 minutes that Trevor Lawrence was warming up on Thursday, he now knows everything there is to know about Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I'm sure
so
he does.
Between that and the Big Cat interview,
oh my gosh,
I need to get caught up.
If you haven't listened to it, it's hilarious because they're Bears fans, so they're having a conversation with Aaron Rodgers, and the whole thing is funny, but on one part, they were talking about, obviously this is a part of the situation that got brought up, but in a main part of it, they were talking about Aaron Rodgers was kind of being Aaron Rodgers and was like, well, like your best days are only like because you, when I lose, like watching me lose or whatever, that's like the best days the Bears fans have, blah, blah, blah. And so he was like, no, he was like, honestly, it's actually what he was like, kind of, but it's watching you lose in the playoffs. And he was like, because he was like, I get it. He's like, that's my Super Bowl. And I have a lot of Super Bowls, more than you do. And I was cracking up, but they were talking about that. Then they were talking about his COVID stuff, and they were just calling him out on some stuff. He got a little angry at one part, but the most of the part, he was kind of laughing and joking around. And I was even like, okay, he's handling this very well because they were coming after him on a few parts.
Maybe he was on his,
yeah,
whatever.
He was
that
just floating.
All right, one more segment to go. I want to get it to Roquan Smith. He is not so happy with Taylor's team, and a whole lot more. You listen to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Stilettos and sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I know I was screaming. Girls in white dresses with I know I was screaming in the office when Olivia Newton-John passed away yesterday.
This will
break
devastate.
Me. Yes. This will break me.
Yes.
Because this is the GOAT.
True legend.
Julie Andrews forever.
When there is... she's not a dame, right? They haven't damed
her? No, she is.
Did they dame her?
She's got the DBE.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She is a legend of legends. And if you need to learn how to be a lady, this is the one you go to.
Especially if your name's Mia, if you know what I mean. Especially if your name is Mia, you go to Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, man. The Sound of Music, every year I watch it. And yes, I forced my husband. If there's women out there listening right now, men out there, if you have been forced like my husband was forced, I sat his butt down and made him watch this 3-hour movie. Yes, it's the 3-hour. It is a movie.
Oh my God.
It's an old movie that actually has an intermission.
Which is how all movies should be, regardless of their length.
Yes, it has an intermission. And it curtains close, and it says intermission. And you can get up, leave, whatever. But I actually bought the nice anniversary DVD, have that collection. Still have that collection.
This musical I've watched and I like.
This is speaking to my soul.
See?
I love this.
I told you, you'd be surprised by what,
it's,
you know,
the musicals where literally every 5 seconds they're singing. I'm like, no.
There's a
I want
story.
You to have conversations and every now and again break out into song, but don't sing every word of the entire thing. That I can't sing.
Well, I feel like that's part of the issue with modern America is like we try to turn everything into a musical. Once they tried to make Legally Blonde a musical, which I heard was actually pretty good,
You know they're making another Legally Blonde.
I saw that in high school.
Yes, that I'm very excited about, because Reese Witherspoon is also a queen. But yeah, I look, when they started making that a musical.
The Grey's Anatomy had a music episode, and I was like, okay.
What are we doing?
No, it was a while ago.
I don't remember that.
I just don't have patience.
I think everyone blacked that one out.
The OG stuff.
Yes.
Sound of Music and Mary Poppins. And
it's when life was slower.
Yes.
Now, not so much. All right, Taylor, Roquan Smith, Bears linebacker, once out, but he was at practice today.
He was. I don't know. Bears, the last like month of Chicago Bears has been a little messy, and I think it's gone under the radar a little bit because it hasn't been anything like absolutely chaotic, but for Bears fans following every step of it, I've also recently started a podcast called Making Monsters, so I'm like very into it right now because each episode is kind of focused on position groups. But there was issues with Tevin Jenkins, who we just drafted last year. That was kind of dramatic. Obviously, some people were upset with Khalil Mack getting traded and Akeem Hicks getting traded. Those ones I wasn't as I got the long view in the horizon for that one, but not with Roquan. Roquan's young. He's one of the best linebackers in the league, and I said last year they needed to extend him last year, and everyone's like, there's time. And I had a feeling, though, that it was going to be a whole new regime. They had so much to do that it wasn't on the top of Ryan Poles, okay, I've got to do this, because he had an entire roster to fill out. There was a large, almost 80% of the Bears roster after the season were not coming back, whether it be their contract ended, their rookie contract was done, whatever the case may be. There was a lot of situations, and he had to rebuild, get a lot of guys, and that was with almost nothing. He had, I think, $25 million and 6 draft picks to do it with. So he got put in like a really bad position coming into here. So I knew it was going to be a little messy. I knew there was going to be people leaving that I didn't necessarily want to leave. But a guy like Roquan, there's just no excuse for it, in my opinion. So the situation pretty much is, and this is things I've kind of heard from inside, that they offered him at first only $16 million, which the top ones right now are at like $19 million. He reportedly asked for $22 million a year. So he wants to be the highest paid linebacker. And there's people out there, you know, which I would say he's not that number one, two. I would say he's in the top five, but he's not the best in the league. And so they came back with another offer. In this offer, it was a technically like $19 million average is how they wanted it to make it look like, but it was very back end. So he was making like 16, 17, 17, 22, something like that. It like got a little bit longer in those last, I mean, a little bit higher in those last couple years. And Roquan represents himself. So that's a big part in this. He doesn't have an agent. So when they came to that with him, I honestly think they were kind of hoping he wasn't noticing that it was pushed all to the back end of that contract. He took offense to that because he was like, yeah, I'm representing myself, but you guys just try to pull one over on me, and that's not cool. And that's what happened today, or within the last couple days. And so today he came out with a long post of, this is how I feel, this is what's going on. Roquan's been on a hold in because he hasn't, he's been at every practice, but he hasn't participated in any practice. Okay. But he showed up at everyone, showed up today at, which happened to be the fan fest at Soldier Field, where all the fans were allowed, like everybody can come to the practice and watch, and they do autographs and all this stuff. He was signing autographs. He was doing all of that. He was on the coach, on the sideline, talking to the other coaches. So it's
and
a very,
Ryan Poles said that it's his priority right now. Right?
Yeah. And Poles made the comment of like, we're going to figure it out. A lot of people, Bears fans, including Adam Hogue, who covers the Bears. He's one of the main Bears reporters for, it's like CHGO, like Chicago, but he's like, there's over a month left. This is a negotiation tactic. Mm-hmm. You can tell that he strategically placed this on a day where it was a fan fest, and he knew fans would be out there. They were chanting, "Extend, you know, pay Roquan." It was this big deal. He knew he was going to get like that moment, and like again, he doesn't have an agent, so for him, these type of things are big for him. It would also be tricky if he wanted, if hypothetically they were talking about trades, because he's in his fifth year option right now with the Bears. And so a team, if we traded with someone, that team would have to have negotiations and a contract ready, because he would have to already know what he's going to be making with that team and have a contract signed. So that makes it difficult, number one, for another team to negotiate with Roquan during this time, but also for Roquan to not have an agent and have to do that on his own. It would be very, very hard for him to get that done in the next couple weeks, you know? It sucks. I hate this, because it's one of the things we've had it here in Jacksonville where it's just like such a distraction. And I don't think Roquan's technically trying to distract from all of camp. He's just trying to say like, pay me, because look, like we've had 6 months now to try to figure this out and have conversations, and you haven't come anywhere close to where I want to be with this. And I'm the best player on this football team right now, like easily, hands down, Roquan's our best player. So it's kind of messy. I do think they're going to figure it out. I really hope they do. I think that with Ryan Poles' comments today, with just the situation of it being a little tricky because of the fifth year option, all of that all together, and like I said, just the timing of it makes it seem like he was really just trying to be like, hey, I'm here, let me make a big moment right now and hope something happens.
In case you're wondering, Darius, or the former Darius now,
the artist formerly known as.
Yeah, Shaquille Leonard for the Colts has the highest average per year as far as salary is concerned at $19.7 million, followed by Fred Warner for the 49ers. Then C.J. Mosley makes $17 million. Fred Warner makes a little over $19 million. And then Foye Oluokun comes in at fourth, and that's $15 million. Mm-hmm. So if he's looking for $22 million per year, it's not only the highest, but it's
by
$3
a couple
million. Yeah,
yeah,
over per year, the highest. So certainly we will see how that plays out. Donna, you have a story for us about a golfer and what he said to his wife, putting him in the doghouse, and I cannot wait to hear this.
I do. So Adam Hadwin.
Mm-hmm. Is he a good guy on the PGA Tour? Or is he a bad guy on the LIV Tour?
Oh, that's a good one. I believe he's still on the PGA Tour. You can correct me for that one. His wife, Jessica, tweeted out, "Y'all pray for Adam. Today, I came out of a dressing room to model my adorable outfit for an upcoming trip we are taking. And he said, and I quote, 'Does that jacket feel a little tight?'"
Uh-oh.
Who says that?
Well, that's a nice way to say it.
Yeah. That's a nice way to say that.
Yeah, I think so.
Does that jacket feel a little tight? You're okay with that one? How you'd be okay.
I don't think that would bother me.
Taylor, you would be okay if Colin said that to you?
Yeah, I don't think I would be if, yeah, I don't think so.
Because
I'm also like not big, so maybe if I maybe
now
if I was in, like
Adam
maybe
Hadwin's
if I was insecure
wife.
About my weight, it would be a different thing. But
Taylor,
I'm not.
Do those pants feel a little tight?
Like honestly, yes. I had to unbutton them at dinner. Like that's the kind of person I am. Like I don't care.
I would say, so with my height, a lot of times clothes, especially if I've had them for years, will, like, especially dresses, will end up a little short.
Mm-hmm.
So the comment I get more often is, you think that's a little short? You think that dress is a little short?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If something's hanging out, I'll let her know. And it needs to be taken care of immediately.
Right. Because it's basically along the lines of, like, I don't know that you should wear that to work. Yeah. That dress, or wear it out with the girlfriends or whatever. That dress is a little short. So I guess from that perspective, and that actually doesn't bother me. Or he'll be like, Brad will be like, don't bend over wearing that, you know, yeah, because right, it is too short. And I'm like,
I'm not going to
do that while wearing that. I know it's a little short, but that's the problem, you know, like I said, when you're a little bit taller, that's a problem you come across.
But not the too tight.
But I don't think that would bother me, but it would also never come to that because I don't like stuff being tight, so I'd be fine. Mia, how about you?
Usually it's just about being loud.
It's just like, usually it's those comments.
Usually it's just that.
Those comments.
That or the, I didn't think you were that short in person, which I wear with a badge of pride, so.
JJ, you would you make that comment?
Absolutely. I make such worse comments. If I think my chick is wearing something that I don't deem
appropriate,
yeah, I don't hold back.
It's not that it's appropriate.
Or making fun of her.
That's what you chose today?
Like. Yeah. She makes fun of stuff I wear. I mean, like, that's sort of how we work.
Yeah.
But it all depends on the relationship. I've been with plenty of girls where, like, that's a no-no. But the one I'm currently with, no. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, then that's good. That's good that it works for you.
You would be upset, Donna?
I couldn't see TJ ever saying that. He would never say that.
He did defend Frank.
He did defend Frank. Yes. there was an argument.
Oh, wow.
Words were said, and he said he was on Frank's side, and I said, "Well, this is now uncomfortable." So, okay. Don't know really where to go here.
Yeah, I would say that would be advice. Just take the significant other side.
Yeah.
If it's a work-related thing, just take the significant other side.
Always.
No. Yeah. There's no
reason to defend people you don't even know.
Yeah.
Even if in your mind you're like, you know what, Blake, you're sounding like a big biatch.
What about those invites to the golf tournament?
No,
though.
He's got
to think about the invites to the golf tournament.
He kept going. He goes, you know, you've been taking things personally. You've been very stressed out about this trip. And I'm like, and my eyes got bigger, and I'm like, I'm just going to go to the other room, I think. And you're probably right, but I'm going to go to the other room.
Oh, boy.
But we got something to give away before we head out.
We do. We have a pair of tickets, right, to the Jags-Browns game Friday night, the second preseason game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if you want to go, be caller number 4 at 641-1010. Caller number 4-641-1010, and you get to go to that game. It kicks off at 7 o'clock at TIAA Bank Field. That's a wrap, ladies.
That's it.
Football season is underway. Well done, Taylor, with your feature. And thanks again to Ashley and Lexi Baselli for joining us earlier. And again, congratulations to Tony. For Donna Murphy, for Mia O'Brien, for Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. And, of course, for John J.J. LaSelva. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Into the Night with Rick Blue that comes up next.